KDOW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. We learned Tuesday that Mark Fogel, an American school teacher wrongfully detained by Russia, was released in a prisoner swap. Today, the U.S. releasing a convicted Russian criminal, says White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt.
The Russian who will be returning home very soon, Alexander Vinnik, was a nonviolent crypto criminal. And as part of this exchange, he has forfeited more than $100 million that he obtained in that illegal crime.
In a social media post, President Trump saying today he talked to Russian leader Vladimir Putin that they agreed for their teams to, quote, start negotiations immediately to end the Russia-Ukraine war. Trump then calling Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky to let him know what was discussed. Doge at the door. Sources tell us the State Department's begun instructing U.S. embassies around the world to start planning for staff reductions. The Senate today confirming Tulsi Gabbard as to serve as Director of National Intelligence, to vote 52-48. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. We're supposed to see 3 to 7 inches of snow in our area today. More snow is anticipated the further south you go. The National Weather Service says roads will be slippery as the accumulations continue through the overnight hours. The area can expect another round of snowy conditions Friday night into Saturday. With freezing temperatures across the state, AAA is warning Wisconsin residents that letting their cars sit idle to warm up isn't actually a good idea. AAA officials say driving normally and avoiding hard acceleration will warm up car engines faster while also reducing wear and tear and exhaust emissions. They're also reminding residents that before they hit the road, it's a good idea to take safety precautions. Drivers should have an emergency kit with warm clothing in the car and keep their fuel tank as high as they can to prevent freezing. The city of Green Bay will receive over $3.9 million to replace 3 buses in its transit system. The money comes from fines collected from Volkswagen for cheating on emissions tests in the 2010s. The new buses will replace old, energy-inefficient buses using the funding from the State of Wisconsin Transit Capital Assistance Grant Program. The program is funded through a court settlement resulting from Volkswagen violating the Federal Clean Air Act. Janesville, Wausau, and Beloit will share in the $11.8 million in grants announced this week. WGBW has an e-newsletter that comes out twice a week, and it is filled with stories you care about from the greater Green Bay area. Subscribe today at wgbw.fm. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to wgbw.fm.
The Bucks in Minnesota. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight at the Target Center. Giannis still out with a calf injury. Head coach Doc Rivers on trying to figure out playing time for the new guys acquired in the Chris Middleton trade.
It's tough because it's more than, it's easy with one guy, you know, but we have multiple guys that we're trying to squeeze in, and we got to find out because we have guys here that we like. So we have to find out in these next 30 games. So it's important.
College basketball, Marquette with a win at home last night over the DePaul Blue Demons, 68-58. That snapped a 3-game losing streak for Marquette. NFL, Packers quarterback Jordan Love on the Kay Adams Show says he and his fiancée, Ronica Stone, are deciding what snacks to serve at their wedding this spring.
Well, the important thing for both of us, this is pretty cool, you know, being from California, like, we were like, we need an In-N-Out truck at the wedding.
Let's go. It's amazing. So you're going to have one at the wedding?
We're going to have an In-N-Out truck, yeah.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter weather advisory continues for an additional 1 to 3 inches of snow, otherwise cloudy tonight and a low near 10. Then a clearing sky for tomorrow, high into the upper teens. Then snow chances return on Friday, accumulations likely again. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you haven't been working. Okay, so yep. No big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's okay. You stretched before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pay for the person behind you. Give a compliment. Random acts of kindness on the next NWSCA weekend. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Why doing good for others is good for you, too.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for tuning in and listening. You can be a part. Simply call or text 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. working hard on the board today. And jazzed as hell, our pal Matt Rothschild joining us as a co-host for the day. Of course, formerly with the Progressive Magazine, with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and a frequent civic media contributor. Matt, good to see you once again, man.
Yeah, great to see you, Dom. Sorry I missed you for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's all right, man. You got some living to do, and and the life goes on, man. Lots of politics happen. We'll continue. Folks, it is snowy out there. It is Wisconsin. It is February, and we finally got one of those storms picked just up. We both live in Bayview, heading down to Racine here today. Lots of accidents.
Yeah, I appreciate on the that. Road. There was no way my car was going to get through it.
Yeah, that Jeep, it'll go through anything. Uh-huh. So take your time, folks. Plan a little extra time if you need to. If you don't need to go anywhere, stay at home.
Cuddle enjoy up. The show.
Yeah, cuddle up with the radio. Give us a call. Be a part. 855-752-4842. Matt, a lot has happened in the few weeks since we've spoke, but most recently, Elon Musk is taking center stage, and Elon Musk was in the White House, man. He was in the Oval Office. Not very dressed very appropriately, in my humble opinion, Matt. But we have, all this effort by the Doge and, of course, then the legal pushback. Lots of organizations suing over the actions of Elon Musk and the Trump administration from across the board, Matt. So right now, I mean, they're throwing things against the wall. It seems like we're trying to catch up, trying to stay ahead of what's going on. But some of the content being provided by Elon Musk and the Doge folks, well, it's not really accurate, Matt. It seems like they're I'm gonna say they're lying to us or misspeaking. But what's your sense as of right now with the effort of this public-private partnership? I don't know how to call this thing. This man who volunteers his time for Donald Trump as his point man with Doge. How do you think the American people are taking this right now, Matt?
Well, I think Elon Musk is a lot less popular than Donald Trump. And, you know, he's like mini-me to Donald Trump. And it's just, Trump said he was going to be a dictator on day one. Turns out he's been a dictator on day one, two, three, through 20. And Musk is his little deputy. And to see the richest man in the world standing there in the Oval Office with his, baseball cap on and a T-shirt on underneath a coat and his little kid there, who brings their little kid to a press conference with the president of the United States? I mean, this guy is just so arrogant. It's amazing that he's able to breathe. He's so full of hot air, too. And it's just, he's been doing one illegal thing after another. Trump has and Musk has. And he can't just say, as Musk did yesterday, well, the people voted for the president, so the president can do whatever he wants. That's how democracy works. That's not how our democracy is supposed to work.
No, that's not how it's supposed to work. Now, certainly the executive branch, they can hire who they want and do what they want, but any of those representatives still represent the executive branch. And to my understanding, impounding the money, you know, this law that we created in the 70s to stop, aggressive executives from impounding money, from taking money from different sources and putting in their pocket or doing other things with them. They're not supposed to do that, right? We have a budgetary process. It starts right in the Congress. You know, we're going through this right now. If you have issues with any of these particular programs or how the money's being spent, why wouldn't this be hammered out when you do the budget? You don't do it in this fashion.
Yeah, you can't do it retroactively. It's illegal to not see that the laws are faithfully executed. I mean, the budget was passed. There are all these expenditures that were approved. He's supposed to execute those laws and do what's in the budget. He can't just say, I'm not going to spend this money on USAID. You just can't do that.
Well, one of the concerns that they had with the USAID was the condoms. I mean, condoms for everybody. We're funding the whole world getting condoms.
Millions and millions and millions
of condoms. It might even be billions.
The number kept changing.
Trillions? So. I mean, there's a lot of condoms.
Indeed.
A lot of condoms.
Yeah. I think Elon doesn't believe in condoms. He's got a lot of kids floating around.
Yes, he does. I don't believe in condoms. No. Practice safe sex, everybody. But the condom. And when this came out, when Elon Musk and Doge announced to the world, hey, we found this striking fraud. USA spending $50 million on condoms to send over to Gaza. For Hamas?
Yeah.
And right off the bat, I was like, oh, BS.
Well, right.
BS
show,
meter.
Show us the source.
Well, I mean, my BS meter went off. I think, Jess, you were a little concerned about whether or not that was accurate or not. But some of our callers, our conservative buddies out there, they were quoting that right and left.
Immediately.
Oh, look at the fraud. And that was a couple of weeks ago. And as it turns out, that might not be true, Mega. So, again,
if only I had pearls to clutch.
Consider the source. And unfortunately, the source that you're considering is the guy you voted for. And he and the crew around him have a tendency of, I don't know, getting it wrong. I'm not going to even say lie. I'm going to say getting it wrong. And the more I hear Elon Musk speak, the dumber he sounds to me. That's my own personal opinion. I haven't heard him a whole lot. I saw him on Joe Rogan a while back smoking a joint. I was like, ooh, big deal. Guy smoking a joint. Okay. But didn't really listen to the guy. Well, I heard a little bit of him at the White House yesterday, and I was like, oh God, this is our best and brightest. I mean, just because you're rich doesn't mean you're on top of it, man. I'm just saying. And as evidenced by it, the man admits himself. We have a cut. Do we have a cut
yeah,
from?
We do.
All right,
we do.
Musk in the Oval Office yesterday, dressed totally inappropriately. I mean, he may as well have had a Judas Priest t-shirt on while he was at it.
But then,
what was that t-shirt? I don't know.
Then he'd at least have some style and taste.
That's right. Breaking the law. But a journalist did ask Musk about this $50 million in condoms. Let's hear that cut, please, Jess.
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect and should be corrected. So nobody's going to bat 1,000. I mean, we will make mistakes, but we'll act quickly to correct any mistakes. I'm not sure we should be sending $50 million worth of condoms to anywhere, frankly. I'm not sure that's something Americans would be really excited about. And that is really an enormous number of condoms, if you think about it. But if it went to Mozambique instead of Gaza, I'm like, okay, that's not as bad, but still, why are we doing that?
I'm with so many condoms. You put one on every finger and your toes, too. I mean, condoms for everyone. And then some say, oh, they're blowing the condoms up and trapping bombs to them and sending them over to Israel.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is a tactic that's been used. But again,
condoms? Condoms?
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's a legit gripe that Hamas was blowing up condoms with helium and strapping bombs to them and sending them across the
fence.
Using
them as IEDs.
I don't know if I believe that.
All right, I'll get you a source.
Please do. I mean, come on. Condoms, I mean, they're not very, I don't know, solid. You know what I mean? I'd be questioning that. But my point, of course, these $50 million going to Mozambique instead of Gaza. Not as bad as he said. Well, we're not going to bat 1,000. Yeah, no doubt, dude. You're not batting 1,000. And not only that, that's not the full story. I found this over at the BBC this article entitled Fact-Checking Elon Musk's Claims in the Oval Office. And this was from, just 3 hours ago. So go check it out, thebbc.com. We will put it in the show notes. Just a couple of paragraphs to, I guess, straighten it out, to let everybody know what's happening. From the body of the BBC, the U.S. State Department told us two $50 million donations due to be sent to the Gaza Strip via the International Medical Corps has been stopped, which it claimed included contraceptives such as condoms. But responding to the claims, the charity said it wasn't aware of any future U.S. funding for condoms or any other contraceptives for Gaza. They also said none of the funds they'd received from the U.S. government since October 23 have been used to procure or distribute condoms within the Gaza Strip. Now, the U.S. in the past has provided contraceptives to countries around the world as part of a family planning programs. In 2023, $60.1 million sent abroad for contraceptives, with about $7 million of that for condoms, according to a USAID report. So in 2023, just under $61 million sent abroad for contraceptives, $7 million of that $61 million for condoms, according to a USAID report. None of this was listed for Gaza in the Middle East. 5.4 million of contraceptives were listed for Mozambique, but none of this was for condoms. These contraceptive programs existed under Trump's previous administration as well. During the 2019 fiscal year, about $40 million was spent sending contraceptives abroad, according to another USAID report. So if you're finding fraud and waste and abuse, can you articulate for us, Mr. Musk and Doge and Trump and whoever else has issues with this? And you can have an issue with soft power, Matt. I mean, you can make those determinations. I understand that. But this was so obviously not $50 million in condoms going to Gaza, $7 million in condoms in total, and 5.4 that was for Mozambique, and it wasn't for condoms, it was for other contraceptives. And this plan was already under the last Trump administration. So why is this such an issue now?
You know, it's just they're making stuff up as they're going along here, and maybe they thought this would be a big social media issue. They could throw it up there, people grab on to something that they understand. But again, Congress has passed a budget that includes funding for United States Agency for International Development. The president is supposed to make sure that that happens. He's not supposed to all of a sudden say, we're not going to do this part, we're not going to do that part, we're not going to do the other part. And, you know, I read a good article in the Washington Post recently by a guy who was an ethics counselor under H.W. Bush and worked under Reagan and was at the OMB under Republicans. And he said, you know, this is just totally unconstitutional. It's not how our system works.
Oh, they're trying to change how it works. And, of course, they're getting the proper pushback. I think proper. I mean, we should be challenging. And I've heard the Republicans talk about, oh, Joe Biden's going to ignore the judge's orders when they were talking about trying to give some relief for school debt. And this is the one they're jumping on. Oh, if you're going to talk, we got to talk about Joe Biden. I'm not sure that those are apples to apples comparison. But at the end of the day, yes, the executive branch, you got to listen to your co-equal branch of government, the judicial branch, the courts.
Biden did do that. He cut back on the student forgiveness that he wanted to do.
Oh, he did.
When he was told, hey, that's not constitutional, that's not within your purview, he stepped back.
So Donald Trump's going to continue, and this administration will continue to push the envelope, and we will continue to highlight the facts as we know them. I don't believe in condoms and bombs. Come on, but you got to prove that to me. Hey, folks, come back with us. Got Matt Rothschild today as well. Got Jess on the board, 855-752-4842. Let's circle it back here to the great state of Wisconsin. Matt, your time over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Those folks tracking the dollars in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Let's talk about that. Plus, perhaps a little polling from Charles Franklin over at Marquette University Law School poll. Come back with us. Not to put too fine a bun on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The 2025 draft is almost here, bringing in guests from around the world for this once-in-a-lifetime event. Ready to turn your home into a revenue powerhouse? Simple Life Hospitality makes it easy to rent your home and provides expert, locally managed care, backed by over 50 years of experience. All guests are fully vetted for your peace of mind, so don't miss out. Partner with Simple Life Hospitality today. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com and make the most of this unforgettable event. That's SimpleLifeRentals.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Mino and the Mayor.
Well, I think everybody's been there because he was sitting there for the longest time. So I just gave him a little beep and it was green.
Yeah.
I could see he was vaping. It was meant on his vaping thing. And then all of a sudden he rolls his window and gives me the bird. So I'm trying to get his attention so he can see that I'm giving him the finger too, but I couldn't get my window down.
And you wanted to make sure he could see it.
I was waving to him like, hey. Yeah, exactly.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jess PS on the board, Matt Rothschild joining me today, talking a little Elon Musk, and get to some of the Wisconsin topics here in just a minute. But you folks are lining up on the lines and on the texts. We'll get to the callers here. John from Milwaukee says, hey, guess you've never heard of George Soros, Bezos, Fauci, and the secret cabal that has been running the White House in the absence of Biden. We never voted for any of them. What say you? Well, number one, I don't accept your premise of what the absence of Biden. I mean, Biden was certainly there physically anyway. And so I don't know if that's a apt comparison. Now, in place of Fauci, there's still folks that are in these various departments, let's call it. There's still folks that do those jobs. So I don't know that any of them have, you know, when Fauci was there, he was giving, you know, health recommendations. He wasn't, you know, stopping funding for the NIH. I think those are different issues, and the recommendations that, you know, were based on science, on medical science that we knew at the time and that we continue to know at the time. That science is there's a thing called the scientific process, right? That's how we do it. That we do the best practice, try to figure things out. I don't think that that's the same as what Elon Musk is doing. You mentioned George Soros. It's funny you mentioned that. Now, while George Soros may have gotten the Presidential Medal of Freedom or whatever he got for civilians, George Soros, the boogeyman for the right. Now, if he were in that White House with his hand on Barack Obama's shoulder, holding the press conference, talking about what he was going to do and how he was going to spend money, I think the righties would have been losing their minds, Matt. But for some reason, somehow, this is totally acceptable to the right these days.
Yeah, George Soros didn't get the keys to the kingdom and get to go in and fire people and close down whole agencies that had already been appropriated by Congress. I mean, it's not a fair at all comparison. And Biden, as much as I think he did a disservice to all of us by not getting out of the race earlier, by all accounts, you know, he was there in the meetings making the final decisions upon the recommendations of his aides. It's not like there was some secret cabal in there making decisions while the old guy was asleep in bed all day long. That's not what happened. Yeah, he had problems. Yeah, his faculties were declining. Yes, I think he should have dropped out after the 2022 midterm elections and even either had an open primary or resigned the presidency and handed the car over to Kamala Harris to see if she could drive it. But he didn't do that. That's water, you know, under the bridge, over the dam, whatever cliche you want to use. But it's not like what we're seeing here, where the richest man in the world gets to fire employees at will and close down agencies at will. I mean, that's illegal. I wanted to just mention this article I saw by Alan Charles Rawl. He was associate White House counsel under Reagan and OMB under Reagan and Bush. The radical organization, this is in the Washington Post, now underway is not just foot-faulting over procedural lines. It's not a minor thing. It's shattering the fundamental checks and balances of our constitutional order. The DOGE process, if that is what it is, mocks two basic tenets of our government, he said. One, that we're a nation of laws, not men. And two, that it's Congress that controls spending and passes legislation. The president must faithfully execute Congress's laws. That ain't happening.
to our conservative, I'm assuming conservative, buddy John from Milwaukee. Do you recall, or can history point to us, any example of this kind of, well, as I call it, a public-private partnership? You know, the richest man in the world at the time, whatever the case may be, you know, literally joining forces with the chief executive at the time to dictate policy and overrule how Congress has allocated the funds of the American people. Can you ever think of a time when this is? Is there anything comparable to this, Matt, in your recollection?
No, I can't see it. You know, in my memory, it certainly hasn't happened. And I'm 66, and I've been a geek for politics since I was about six. So, 60 years, I don't think it's happened.
So the Fauci references and the secret cabal references, that doesn't fly with you.
No, not at all. I mean, Biden was, you know, the thing about Joe Biden, I want to give him some credit after I was dumping on him a minute ago. He did make some good decisions. He did get some good legislation passed. He made a good appointment to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
He's done some good things. Don't get me wrong. He helped us get out of COVID. You know, it wasn't like he was totally asleep at the wheel the whole time. And I don't think we should try to disguise that or just try to make fun of him. He was there. People who were on the inside said he was perfectly able to act as president. It's just he was a terrible presidential candidate, as we all saw during the debate.
As we all saw. Cam, he texts in, LOL, the conservative talking points of, what about Biden? We don't care. Yeah, what about Biden? 855-752-4842. The original Claire, you will be first today. Hey, Claire, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom. Hi, Matt.
Hey, Claire.
You know, it's so ironic. Not only is Elon Musk not elected, he isn't even a freaking American. How the hell does he get the... How can he prance into the president's office and call all the shots? I mean, it's so absurd. He ought to be deported.
Claire, I thought he had American...
He's naturalized.
He's naturalized, yep. Okay.
Yeah,
and he is a citizen. Claire, the real secret, of course, is that he's rich. And if there is something that Republicans and MAGA love more than anything else, it's being rich.
Trump loves it too. You know, the fact that he's the richest man in the world, you know, just excites Trump no end.
Well, the richest man in the world essentially doing your bidding. You know, a guy like Donald Trump can't stand to have anybody richer than him. You know what I'm saying? But Donald Trump is the president, and with that comes an enormous amount of executive power. And you know, Donald Trump just loves it when he gets Musk to do basically his dirty work for him. But did you see the body language of Trump when Musk was up there saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to always be wrong." What did he say? Do we have that? We'll play it on the way back next time. We'll remind you of what Musk says. Whenever we hear Musk. We're going to have a new little game. When we hear Musk, we're going to play that little clip. Stick around. We'll play it with you. We'll get to more of your calls as well. 855-752-4842. Stick around.
Well, first of all, some of the things that I say will be incorrect.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin has joined a group of nine other states and the District of Columbia in fighting to maintain higher standards for lead in the water system. The federal rule went into effect on December 30th and is facing a legal challenge by the American Water Works Association. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call says the common sense rule should remain in place as lead exposure has been shown to be a health hazard, especially for children. Governor Tony Evers also announced an emergency rule raising lead standards in his State of the State address. Green Bay Area Public Schools purchased and installed 66 new Zoll AED3 units to replace its current automatic external defibrillators and provide dedicated units for athletic trainers. The school district said the changeout happened in February, American Heart Month. The district said in a press release that they replaced all of the AEDs at one time to allow for uniformity in staff training and purchasing replacement parts. A Wisconsin couple is suing Walgreens over their son's asthma death. Shannon and William Schmidtneck's 22-year-old son Cole died in January of last year. According to the lawsuit, their son stopped at a Walgreens pharmacy in Appleton and was told that the price of his inhaler had jumped from $66 to $539 out of pocket. He left the pharmacy without the medication and tried to manage his condition with a rescue inhaler. The lawsuit says he suffered a fatal asthma attack a few days later. The couple alleges Optum Rx violated Wisconsin law by raising the cost of the medication without a valid medical reason and failed to notify their son so that he could talk to his doctor about alternatives. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.fm.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Liam Neeson was supposed to be stepping back from action movies, but apparently the genre is too embedded in his DNA. The Irish actor just started filming The Mongoose, where he plays Fang Flanagan, a war hero being accused of crimes he supposedly did not commit. To add a little more macho to the fire is a character named Tanker, played by Ving Rhames. Michael Chiklis plays the bad guy and head of the Texas Highway Patrol, who chases Neeson literally throughout the film. Don't give up on action movies, Liam. Very few people can do them at your age. Sticking with action heroes, actor Jason Statham has a new film in the works called Black Bear. That might be a working title. There's not a whole lot of information about the plot, but I'm guessing there's a chase and probably some unexpected gunfire. Now that's sarcasm. Statham plays a man who gets pulled into his violent past and probably messes a few people up. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A winter weather advisory continues for an additional 1 to 3 inches of snow, otherwise cloudy tonight and a low near 10. Then a clearing sky for tomorrow, high into the upper teens. Then snow chances return on Friday, accumulations likely again. Currently it's 17 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
You know, you're sore when you start working out after you haven't worked. Okay, so no big deal.
Did you stretch before you worked out?
Yeah, big time.
You did not. Yeah, see, that's okay. So, you stretch before and after. And really, your stretch before and after should equal the time you work out.
Okay, hey, Dad.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS. And the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, this year they have snow. Sean Connolly will be joining us to talk about the Birkebeiner. A little weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. More snow on the way. All the details coming up. Don't miss
Matinair
it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Be safe on the roads out there in Wisconsin. Folks still dealing with the snowstorm. A little hairy getting down to Racine today. So please take your time. Be courteous of the other drivers. We don't all have four-wheel drive Jeeps. I'm just saying, take your time. Rip.
It's really coming down right now in Madison.
All right. So in the meantime, we're going to, you know, we'll entertain you a little bit here, talking about some of the politics and the topics that are going on today. I guess the Elon Musk, we'll stay here just a moment longer. We played the sound of Elon. What was that little short clip again, Jess?
Some of the things that I say will be incorrect.
Yeah.
We're just going to keep that there forever.
And one of those things, of course, with this bunk about 50 million in condoms going to Gaza. And I keep bringing it up, Matt, because it just, the way that the righties jumped on it, like it was gospel, like this was carved in stone and true and given by God, and we got to stop this, and this is exactly why Elon Musk is in this position. This is one of the reasons they gave him justification. And it's totally freaking wrong, Matt.
Yeah, you know, they'll run with anything, though. They just, it doesn't matter. You know, Reagan's welfare queen, did that make a difference if there was actually a person or not? I mean, it fit their narrative. So if they get, you know, if they get an anecdote that helps them, you know, hoodwink people, it doesn't matter to them whether the anecdote is true or not.
Does it matter?
Look at Springfield, Ohio, yeah, you know, yeah. Eating pets. It's the same thing. And I think that actually helped. You know, Trump and Vance, actually, because it shifted the conversation to some crazy thing, but it also had to do with immigrants, and that was the playing field they wanted to play on, and it took some of the wind out of Kamala's sails. But, yeah, it doesn't matter to them whether it's true or false. Nothing matters to them whether it's true or false.
Well, when you say is that the administration, the folks, you know, coming up with the lies about, you know, eating the pets or the 50 million? Or what about, you know, the folks that call the show, the conservatives that are out there, the, you know, the loyal voters and their foot soldiers out there pushing the narrative? Do they enjoy getting hoodwinked? Do they appreciate being lackeys for a liar? I mean, at some point, wouldn't they, I think they should, kind of reassess who they're listening to and what they believe in?
Well, I hope they will reassess. I mean, Trump and Vance, they tell lies, you know, all day long, especially Trump. But I think Vance does, too, obviously, with a ridiculous Springfield story. Followers want to believe it, you know. And yeah, at what point do they wake up and say, you know, they've been hoodwinked? Maybe when they lose their job, or maybe when inflation goes through the roof because of the tariffs, you know.
No.
But it's going to take a while. It's not going to happen overnight. That's, you know, he's got a 53% approval rating I saw the other day. I mean, so it's not happening right away.
Give it time. You know, we'll deal with a little bit of pain and we'll see what happens after.
But, you
that.
Know, the thing is, you know, sorry to interrupt. The thing is, you know, Trump's not going to feel the pain. Elon Musk isn't going to feel the pain.
Right.
That's why it's so outrageous when both of them talk about there might be a little pain. Well, you guys are going to be doing just fine.
855-752-4842. Rep. Jasmine Crockett, a Democrat from Texas, also had an opportunity during her speech. I guess that this is a committee for that. This is the MTG committee, Marjorie Taylor Greene's committee. I think this is the one.
Indeed.
And Crockett, love me some Crockett, went off on Musk a little bit. Let's play cut number three.
Now, I know that people are confused right now because for whatever reason, we had a guy that went in and you talk about people invading our data. Listen, people said that they were upset about TikTok, but I'm upset about the guy that runs Twitter, who for sure is doing nefarious things, because I don't understand, if you are trying to conduct audits and figure out where the waste, fraud, and abuse is, I don't know why you would go to some tech guy. In fact, it was only techies that were sitting there at inauguration. We didn't have auditors. I would welcome auditors to come in and do forensic audits. In fact, he sat there in the Oval Office yesterday and he admitted that he was lying and he was using his propaganda machine to do it when he said that we sent millions of dollars to Gaza for condoms. That was a lie. So let me tell you something.
The gentlelady's time has expired.
It's time for us to do our job and rein in this rogue actor known as
the gentlelady's time has expired. I now recognize the
MTG.
A lot of love there. A lot of love going on in that room.
No doubt. Thank you, Rep. Crockett, for pointing that out. We will continue to point it out as we see it as well. 855-752-4842. A couple of the texters from MDX, WMDX. Love it when Jess plays some Hailstorm in the bumper music. Yeah, me too. I like that song. Steady Eddie, he chimes in. Dom, Matt, Trump and Musk batting average is nowhere near 1,000, but probably more like Euchre's 200. Well said, sir. Everyone is against waste and fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse. Where's the evidence? Require Musk, Trump, and associates to show the receipts. Yeah, show the receipts. Our pal Rep. Mark Pocan, Congressman Pocan, he went on Doge.gov and had some problems getting access to their information, right?
I mean, this was hilarious. I saw it on Facebook today. Pocan, who I love and who's doing a lot of social media these days, and credit to him for that, posted a quote from Elon Musk saying, we're transparent. When a reporter asked about transparency, we put it all up there on our website. And so Pocan went to the website, doge.gov, at that point this morning, and there was nothing there. And so by the time I came around to it, I looked it up too, and still there was nothing there. There's something there now, but it ain't great.
Yeah, I'm on it literally right now. Doge.gov. .gov, an official website of the United States government, and it's essentially a link to their Twitter feed. And that's it. One, there's like, I don't know, there's a half a dozen, maybe 10 links to Twitter. You want to go check out Doge? Go to Twitter. That's where it's all at. And I haven't dug into any of these tweets yet, and perhaps I will, because I am curious. Because to Steady Eddie's point, yeah, of course, waste, fraud, and abuse. No, hell no, we don't want that. We got enough of that going on, and we should certainly, you know, be good stewards of our tax dollars. No question about it. But you know, when you were talking about a guy like Elon Musk, who gets billions and billions and billions of dollars of our tax dollars, you know, for his projects, that's apparently good spending. No problem there.
Yeah, I mean, he just got another contract yesterday, I saw, the day before. You know, I'm on the website, too, right now. I'm checking under savings. I click there. All it says is receipts coming soon, no later than Valentine's Day.
Receipts coming soon. Yep, yep. It'll be, we'll have a replacement for the ACA in 2 weeks, and next week starts Infrastructure Week. We've heard this before, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I don't understand how people continue to follow this and think that, because again, there's a credibility problem, Matt. That's what I have with this entire operation. No, you're not batting 1,000. You're barely batting 200, from my understanding. Was there an apology?
You know,
No, I was totally wrong.
Even though he said we're not going to get it right all the time, and when we get it wrong, we'll correct it. Hasn't happened yet.
Did he correct it? Did he specifically say? Because I still haven't. It was $7 million in contraceptives.
Right.
In contraceptives and not condoms.
Correct.
I mean, so he's still wrong even when he admitted he wasn't right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But let's look at this from a higher altitude. Because what they are doing here, first of all, they're getting rid of a lot of federal employees. The workforce in the federal government is about 20% black. So they're getting rid of a disproportionate number of African-Americans. The ideology is everything the private sector does is good and everything the public sector is bad. This comes down from Ronald Reagan. And you know, they want to get rid of government regulations because government regulations, now that they've savaged unions, our government, people we elect, are the only things that stand between corporations and their ability to maximize profits at the expense of their workers or the environment. And so, you know, Musk has made, you know, his billions in the private sector, and the other billionaires, you know, dozens of them who are at the inauguration, they stand to make more money as these regulations get cut. And so that's really the big picture. Well, and the other big picture is just that, you know, capitalism's devouring our democracy. It's not delivering the goods to people. So people are unhappy and sometimes go with a authoritarian figure to solve their problems. You know, the rich get richer, the poor get poor, and the rich buy the politicians. And that's where we're at.
Now the rich just become the politicians, and they save, that's their efficiencies. They save out on the middleman. You know, you mentioned the government regulations, you know, our regulations that we put on to protect ourselves, that's impeding, you know, maximizing profits for the corporations, for the billionaires. And you talked about I would throw out there the customers as well. It's not just the environment, you know what I mean? And these other, they're also going after consumer protections for us people as we engage in capitalism, as we engage in commerce. They're trying to make it easier for these corporations to, you know, shyst us, to charge us more, to defraud us. It makes it easier. Now, not every corporation does that. And we are in the world where we go out and buy goods and services and provide goods and services. I mean, that's just the environment we live in. But to make sure that the environment stays protected, that workers are protected, that the customers are protected. Mm-hmm. You know, we deserve protection. I do not appreciate as a customer, as a citizen, as a voter, you know, these folks coming in and just slashing through with some consumer protection because, oh, it's too burdensome on the banks. You know, look what we had to go through with the banks. I don't remember those bank executives doing perp walks during the last couple of shut rundowns. Matt?
No, and they should have. And Barack Obama should have taken care of that. That was one of the biggest problems that we had with Obama. And even Steve Bannon said there should have been accountability for the banks. I mean, come on now.
When Bannon is saying it, you know, I don't know. I sometimes that guy, he strikes a chord. He's a little crazy, but sometimes I hate to admit it. 855-752-4842. Hell, we even talked about a couple of things that maybe this administration is doing good. We'll keep that one on the back burner for the next hour. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going on the topic. Mark from the SAC, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Matt brought up the one thing is that one of Trump's duties is he must make sure that the laws are faithfully executed. Because in the Constitution, as in law, shall means must. It's an imperative word. And it was kind of funny that Trump had, had his little 4-year-old there. And it was kind of, Trump is lucky that little 4-year-old didn't quip up that and telling his dad that Trump needed a diaper change.
Jeez, come on. Oh, it's a little too close to home there, Mark. I mean, you don't want the diaper smell, man. I haven't had kids in diapers in a while, but man, that was nasty. I can't imagine the adult diaper smell. Thank you for the contribution, I guess. Matt Rothschild, before we move on, I just want to throw this one out there for your consideration for the audience as well. The New York Times points out Republicans love Trump's spending cuts, just not in their states. From the body of the piece, Senator Katie Britt from Alabama. Here's what the New York Times reporting. That Britt was one of the first Republicans to raise concerns at home soon after the Trump administration directed the National Institutes of Health to slash $4 billion in overhead costs for medical research grantees, a move that has since been put on pause by a federal judge. Now, Senator Britt, whose state has received more than $518 million in NIH grants for projects currently active there, told a local news outlet she would press administration officials to take a smart, targeted approach to cuts so as to not hinder life-saving groundbreaking research at high-achieving institutions such as the University of Alabama at Birmingham. In the House, a group of Republicans from farm states and districts introduced legislation this week that aims to salvage a foreign aid program targeted for extinction by Trump as part of his effort to wipe out the U.S. Agency for International Development. That bill would transfer oversight for the Food for Peace program, which purchases crops at market price from American farmers and distributes them to hungry people abroad, from the U.S. aid to the Agriculture Department. The lawmakers argued that their legislation fulfills the spirit of what Trump calls his mandate to slim down the federal bureaucracy and make it more efficient. So they're going to slide it from the U.S. aid over to the Ag Department and problem solved? Are you kidding me? And of course you're going to be impacted by this Republican states. This is what government is, by the people, for the people.
But we voted to own the libs.
If you think it's going to be bad for the University of Madison, it might be bad for the University of Alabama at Birmingham. Just saying. Folks, come back with us. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. The New Hampshire legislature has proposed various schemes over the last decade to keep liberal-leaning college students living in the state from voting in elections. Most have failed, but no fewer than three voter suppression bills are before the legislature this year. A 2020 New Hampshire Supreme Court decision overturned a previous law, SB 3, and preserved the current rules allowing college students to use their dormitory or off-campus address as their legal domicile for voting purposes. As of last November, an official student ID could still be used as identification. That could change with HB 323, which eliminates school-issued identifications as acceptable means for ID for voting. SB 223 has been tried before. It allows any student eligible to vote in New Hampshire to qualify for in-state tuition at any state university system campus, but also eliminates college-issued IDs as a form of identification. HB 289 challenges the definition of domicile again. Previous bills tried to outlaw dormitories as acceptable domicile, require a car registration, or to have a New Hampshire driver's license. HB 289's latest tactic prohibits domicile status for anyone who is legally a dependent at an address outside the state. We've linked to local reporting and the text of the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Anywhere I want to go.
Back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-Civic SPS on the board. Jazz as hell. Matt Rothschild back in the studio. Good to see you, Matt. I want to get to the money in the politics and at least in the Wisconsin Supreme Court race. Maybe we'll bump that to the next segment at the top of the hour. On the national affairs, inflation came out. Wrote a piece in Newsweek, Matt. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Consumer Price Index, CPI, increased by 0.5% month over the month in January of 25, up 0.4% in December, and well ahead of consensus forecast of 0.3%. All items indexed edged up 3% for the 12 months ending in January. They penciled in 2.9% in line with December's reading. Now, the more closely monitored core inflation rate, which excludes the impact of volatile prices such as food and energy, also surpassed expectations, quickening to 0.4% in January, up from 0.2% in December, and surpassing forecasts of 0.3%. On an annual basis, core inflation rose 3.3%, up from 3.2% the previous month, and exceeding market expectations of 3.1%. And I saw Trump was just Biden inflation. And I honestly, Matt, I don't necessarily disagree. I mean, Donald Trump has not been president that long. You don't get to, you know, quote unquote, right the ship, even if you're trying like you're trying, Trump. You are still impacted by the legacy administration policies until you can change them. There's a budget. There's, you know, of course, executive orders and court cases that can, you know, impact those things. But I don't take a big problem with putting a lot of this inflation as it stands for the month of January on the previous administration. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, Trump didn't get in until 3 weeks of January were done, so it can't all fall on Trump. I think a better time to evaluate Trump and inflation will be next month. We can at least get a full month of Trump in office, and all his tariff stuff, I got to think, is going to cause some inflationary pressures. And also it gives the Fed here a reluctance, and we heard that from the Fed chairman yesterday, a reluctance to cut rates, even though Trump and his Treasury Secretary are demanding it. So it's not good news for Trump, let's put it that way, even though it can't all be blamed on Trump.
Exactly. And it's not good news for us. I mean, it's better than, you know, higher than that. It's better than 4% or 5% or 6% inflation. As Mark from Sussex points out, he took office on January 20th. Good God. Yeah, Mark from Sussex. I get that. You get that. Matt gets that. We understand that. But what you need to understand is what the man told you. Day one, dude. Day one. And it's past day one.
It is.
It's well past day one.
In fact, so while we're getting close to day 20.
It seems much longer than that. So while I can totally understand that, yes, it makes sense that this is not entirely the fault of this current administration, this inflation that we're dealing with right now. But I wasn't one that promised that, Matt. You know what I'm saying? That was Trump. And Mark from Sussex, you voted for him based on that, I would assume. Most people did. It was the pocketbooks. It was immigration. It was those kinds of issues that apparently drove people to Donald Trump. Donald Trump told you, Mark from Sussex, day one. That didn't happen. It was never going to happen. I don't give a damn what he did. No president can lower the price of eggs on day one. There's too many variables that go into it. So while I can appreciate the circumstance and understand how the economics work and, again, dealing with the legacy of a previous administration, it was Donald Trump who made that promise. And on day one, just like the war in Ukraine, he broke it because he was unable to do it, as he was never going to be able to do it anyway, Matt.
Yeah, and gas prices up 6.2%. That's big. I mean, he has been talking about, you know, going to the Saudis and talking to that torture crown prince over there.
Yeah.
To just flood the market with oil and bring down the price of oil. It hasn't happened yet. Oil prices are up and, you know, egg prices are up. And he seems focused on other things than helping people, you know, when we're going to the grocery store.
And that's some of that soft, that pain we're going to have to deal with, I guess, you know. And the question is, what policies are now being put forth that would impact, you know, the cost of groceries and so forth? You know, begging MBD and Saudi to put some more oil out there. Well, good luck with that. I mean, if oil isn't, you know, high enough in price, why would they do that? You know what I mean? They got to make the margin. They got to make the money on that. When oil goes up, they'll produce some more oil. So we are in this country right now. Biden's last year was the most oilless country ever produced in the history of this country, Matt.
Yeah, but you know he doesn't really care. He made all those promises. You know, he's a salesman. He got the sale done, and he doesn't really care, right? I mean, he got what he wanted. He's got almost more power than anyone ever has had on the face of the earth, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court. And he doesn't really care if people are going to feel some pain.
Put a guarantee on the box. Cool little Tommy boy there. You know, put a guarantee on it. And Mark, I get it. You love him. You've loved him the first 3 weeks, and you voted for him. But what did you vote for him for, man? Because Ukraine's still going on. I know there's some negotiations going on right now. Apparently Trump might meet with Putin while in Saudi Arabia. That could be a thing. That's some of the news out there today. So I guess progress on solving world wars, that's a good thing. But as mentioned, it didn't happen on day one. You know, instituting tariffs, that's not going to help inflation. He's doing that right away, right? That's something that's going to increase costs, not decrease costs. So, you know, while these folks are still supportive of Donald Trump, he has, and he was never going to, honor those commitments, those day one commitments. It was never going to happen. So the question is to Mark and all the megas out there, is it day 10? Is it day 100? You know, what point of him not fulfilling those campaign promises to you will make you wonder why you voted for the man in the first place and what really needs to be done to impact and deal with this inflation? Well, one of the things we need to worry about is money in politics. Matt, let's talk about the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the gobs of money. And how do we treat the billionaires? Are there good billionaires out there? We'll talk about it. Stick around.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Maggie Dawn.
Tariffs, inflation, and shutdowns, oh my. How Donald Trump is stealing the financial futures of Wisconsin families. We discuss with Tom Paulswitz next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Nerds, it's time to come together. I'm Amanda Nimmer, bringing you your new Wisco 411, and this is your time to rise because one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming February 1st through April 27th, showcasing iconic characters, vehicles, memorable scenes from the franchise. There are 142 collected items, including a life-size land speeder. Get your tickets for the Multicultural Center's Unofficial Galaxies from February till the end of April.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump today announced the beginning of negotiations between Russia and Ukraine to end the war. This afternoon in the Oval Office, the president said he had spoken on the phone today with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
I think we're on the way to getting peace. I think President Putin wants peace and President Zelensky wants peace.
President Trump said there are no preconditions to starting negotiations, and he believes Ukraine will regain some of the territory taken by Russia. Here at home, President Trump says he's ready to close down the Department of Education.
Oh, I'd like it to be closed immediately. Look, the Department of Education's a big con job.
U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi announcing legal action against New York Governor Kathy Hochul and New York Attorney General Letitia James, saying that the state's sanctuary policies do not comply with federal immigration law. Two naval aviators are doing well after their F-18 variant crashed in the waters off San Diego today. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hayes.